It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are on the free Odyssey app, good Wednesday morning. Some news in New York again with the Jets. Boomer said it yesterday. Now that they got the Garrett Wilson deal done, they're going to get the Sauce Gardner deal done. I didn't think they would do it. They did it. And you've got those two guys locked up now as Darren Mooji and Aaron Glenn and his new regime making some statements. And last night you had some interesting things happen in the All-Star game. I actually, yes, just said that. Some interesting things happened to the All-Star game. Mildly interesting. I'm not going to pretend like it was some sort of groundbreaking deal, but mildly interesting. Obviously with the swing off at the end. And then you had the ABS system and the tapping, and it worked for Edwin Diaz. And we saw Pete Alonso hit a big three-run homer. And there was some moments there. So I will give Major League Baseball credit. They definitely got some people excited about what happened last night. And, of course, I'm sure there's going to be a who knows where we go today on this very light sports Wednesday. That's why you have to buckle up and come for the ride with Boomer and Geo, like always, all the way to 10 o'clock. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing good. And I do agree that the All-Star game is probably the best All-Star game in the last 20 years. The presentation was pretty good. And, people always ask and they always say about All-Star games, no matter what league they're talking about, are these guys really playing hard? Those kids were playing hard. Those guys were playing hard last night. Mm. You know, when you got guys like Scooble and Skeens throwing 100 miles an hour,
yeah,
they're playing hard. They want to win. And, I know Rob Manfred's got all these little tricks to speed up the game and to end the game. We hated the game when it ended in a tie.
Oh, it was awful.
But then again, you don't want it to go into extra innings and have pitchers pitching extra, pitches if they don't have to. And so you end it this way. It's a little bit different. It's a little bit more exciting. And, the way that the players reacted to what Kyle Schwarber was doing last night was, they're all into it. And I thought, the fact that they could wear all their own uniforms, go back to that kind of history a little bit more. I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Yeah, I do like the fact for an All-Star game to have the swing off. Obviously, some of the takes we're going to get today, I'm sure we're going to be like, well, why don't you try this in regular season games? And no, this is great for an exhibition. It was fun. The Home Run Derby is a part of All-Star Week. It's a similar thing. They bring out the net, and it was fine. But the players were into it, and that's one thing that we have criticized in the other leagues is that the NFL players don't care about whatever they're doing now. The NBA players don't care. Yeah, so it's like I can't get on these guys for caring so much. And it was good to see the other jerseys. So there's a few things that that we have complained about with the All-Star game that they actually fixed. And I don't know what anybody could really complain about this morning.
Right. And MLB got their head out of their political ass and basically went back to Atlanta like they should have went back to or should have played years ago.
Yes, that's right.
So, the whole thing was just it had a better feel to it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that, I can't wait for next year's All-Star game. But I will say that they did a good job. And plus, the Mets were featured prominently in this thing.
And unfortunately, Pete Alonso didn't get an opportunity in the swing off. It ended before his turn. I would have liked to see that. But yes, they were. I mean, you had Edwin Diaz, unfortunately, give up that little single to tie the game. That really wasn't his fault. You had him using the ABS system and working to end an inning. You had Pete Alonso's big homer. Francisco Lindor made a nice play at short. So, yeah, they were around. David Peterson got a couple of hard-hit balls against him. But, yeah, I mean, they were around, And Jazz Chisholm was really close to getting a big hit, but was robbed by Matt Olson there. So, yeah, the Yankees a little bit involved as well. Carlos Rodon strikes out Francisco Lindor. So, C-Mac, I'm sure, was rooting for that.
Yeah, I'm sure so, too. But now the real work starts. And this is where the general managers, team presidents, people like that have got to start making decisions as to who they're going to acquire, who they're going to give up. And both of these teams are right in the middle of all of this. There's so much being written about which teams are going to be selling, which teams are going to be buying. And there's going to be a lot of teams that, that are all right there that have to make that decision. Do they think they have enough to make it as a wild card team or even win their division? Or is it time now to sell? And only one division really is out of hand, and that, of course, is the American League Central, where Detroit is 11 and a half games up. But everybody else, there's probably about 10 teams that I think this morning you wake up, you say, you know, they have to trade some players. They got to move some guys. And now it's up to David Stearns and Brian Cashman to refortify their teams and fill the holes that they desperately need to fill to see if they can somehow keep up pace with the Dodgers and the Tigers. And because, you know, both of those teams are going to be adding. And the weirdest thing yesterday for me watching this All-Star game, obviously, and I think all Met fans realize this, there's Javi Baez starting in right in center field.
Yeah, well.
And then there's Pete Crow Armstrong starting in center field.
Yeah, I mean.
And then for Yankee fans, you got Gleyber Torres starting at second base.
Sure.
With facial hair.
Right. And the Pete Crow Armstrong, Javi Baez thing for sure is a tough one. It'd be a hell of a lot worse if the Mets were 15 games under 500 and struggling as a franchise. It's easier to digest with the fact that they went to the NLCS last year. They're a very good team again this year, but I found it interesting because, and maybe I'm reading too much into this, I absolutely am, but they're asking Pete Carl Armstrong about the Cubs and respect that they're getting in the season that they're having, and he's like, yeah, you know, it's nice to be mentioned, you know, with the powerhouses in baseball, like.
And he didn't mention the Mets.
He goes, the Dodgers and the Yankees, and then he stopped, and I was like, oh! Like, I wanted him to say the Mets or the Phillies or whatever else, but I wanted him to say the Mets, and I mean, he is a big superstar. He's the SGA of MLB because he's PCA. He's on the red carpet with his girlfriend, who's an absolutely stunning woman. He's living a life right now. But you know,
but this is the thing for guys like Cashman and Stearns, right here, right now.
But this is a rare one.
I understand.
Usually, you trade these guys, they turn into zeros.
But you know what's amazing is that they traded Pete Crow Armstrong for Javi Baez, and that was such a mess for the Mets.
Yeah, just terrible. The thumbs down. It was the first year of Steve Cohen. Lindor was here. It felt like he was getting. I mean, there was just a lot of bad apples in that clubhouse, and I think that, you know, once you got Stroman out and Baez out and some of these guys, that's when Francisco Lindor really became the leader that he is. That was a bad time for them, but I mean, it was also different management. You didn't have David Stearns there. Steve Cohen was still trying to figure it out, but I mean, so those are the things that I'm interested in because we know these teams are all in. I'm not questioning if they're all in or not, but there is a level of all in that. Do they cross that line or not? One is the Yankees, who have been very conscious of that luxury tax penalty and not going over that. They've been very conscious of that, and that is a fact. And the other is, you know, David Stearns valuing this farm system and building it back up, and they've talked so much publicly about having that farm system, developing these guys, having the best one in baseball, and who are you parting with to try to win a championship in this window?
Yeah,
you know, that would be the thing.
I mean, look, one team went to the NL Championship and the other team went to the World Series. I mean,
yeah, neither one of them won it, which they're trying to do.
But the point being is that we always talk about windows being open and talking about window throwers. This is where Brian Cashman and David Stearns have got to be window throwers because the windows are open, Biggs.
Yeah, I know.
You know, and the Mets are getting a little bit healthier, which is good. So they're going to feel like they're going to be able to, you know, step on the pedal here in the second half. You know, the Yankees have some serious, you know, filling to do. They've got to figure out third base, you know, and they have got to figure out what they're doing with their bullpen and their starting pitching.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been so all over the place. So look, I'm just saying that if I'm sitting in one of those seats, I have to go for it. We have Juan Soto here for $765 million. You got the best player in baseball in Aaron Judge on the other team,
across
town. I mean, you can't be sitting around and doing nothing.
Well, there's also who's available and is there going to
be
a game changer, you know?
A million guys available.
But that puts you over the top. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, like, not every year. I mean, for example, the rarity that there was with Pete Crow Armstrong turning into the superstar that he is as a prospect that you dealt at the deadline. It's also as rare to make a trade like Yoenis Cespedes and you ride that guy to the World Series. So, like, We talk about this so much, and very rarely, I guess the Braves, when they won the World Series, had a great trade deadline. It was like pieces and pieces here. But, you know, a lot of these times, these guys that you bring in are, it really doesn't affect all that
much.
But
at the end of the day, it's really about depth. It's about refortifying or rebuilding a position that has given you nothing but problems. And third base is created problems for the Yankees at second base.
I got to.
You know, and that's why they, you know, when you and I were off, they DFA'd
DJ LeMahieu.
I mean, and I think the pressure started mounting and mounting and mounting from Yankee fans over the last 3 weeks. And I would tell you a lot of that was coming from this radio station. It was over and over and over again that the Yankees had to do something. And I think that they quelled some of the initial, or I wouldn't say initial, but I would say they quelled some of the criticism by DFAing DJ LeMay.
Yeah, I mean, he was absolutely awful. And I think that probably the main reason he stuck around so long is him and Aaron Judge are very close. And if they weren't, he would have been gone earlier than that. But yeah, I mean, that was a no-brainer at that point. And
but, you know, but what that is, that's a signal. That's a signal to the rest of the team. And that's also a signal to the rest of baseball that we're not messing around anymore. I mean, that's a guy who's highly respected. They gave him a contract. He, you know, was off the injured. And all of a sudden, you DFA a guy like that, and you kind of quell the fan base a little bit. But you're also saying to the rest of your team, hey, guys, look, man, we don't care who you are. We don't care what your history is. We don't care what you've done for us. You know, we're in this to win it right now.
Yeah. You know, I don't know if this happens to you, but as I've noticed as I've gotten older and more experiences, like, we talk about things, and then, like, the weirdest things pop into my head about, like, whatever topic we're talking about. And the 2000 trade deadline popped into my head.
Oh.
Now, let me see if these two guys in here, big Met fans, remember this deal. The Mets traded, I'll just put it for an infielder at the trade deadline in 2000 who hit a home run in his first at-bat and then
I saw someone wearing his jersey last week. So and it made me mad when I walked into Camden Yards.
Mike Bordick.
And you remember what they gave up for Mike Bordick.
Oh, my God.
Guy ended up having a very solid career. Was a decent rookie with the Mets, had a good career.
I don't have it.
Melvin Mora.
Oh, that's right. Melvin Mora. Yeah, and he was one of those guys that you really saw potential in. Yeah, and he ended up going to, yeah, Baltimore.
They panicked because of the Ray Ordonez injury.
Yep. And then he hits a home run. I remember he hits a home run to left field at his first at bat. And I'm like, yeah, Mike Bordick. This is awesome. It's just so funny. You know, it really is, all these moves. And that's why I think when I was talking about, like, you know, a lot of these moves don't really turn into much. You know, Mike Bordick pops into my mind because not everyone is Yoenis Cespedes. But, yeah, I mean, these are critical times for general managers.
But you know that if the Yankees can get a legitimate hitting and fielding third baseman, that would be huge for them.
Yeah, I mean, Arenado's still the guy, right? Suarez. Yeah. I mean,
Eugenio Suarez.
Yeah. I mean, I really want to see, because the Hal Steinbrenner unwillingness to go that extra mile with it, like, they put the brakes on. Like, it's like, boom,
yeah,
that's
but they
it.
Just DFA'd DJ LeMay and they're going to pay him. So,
but
I
that
mean,
didn't matter. That's not adding past
I
your
I know,
thing.
But it's paying a guy for doing nothing.
But that's not what they've avoided doing in
the
past.
The Nets are the kings of that.
What they've avoided doing in the past is going past a threshold and paying more tax.
Yeah, I understand.
So
that's
all.
This may be the year they may have to do it.
Yeah, pressure's on, man.
I'm telling you, they, you know, it's funny listening to the station. I know the Yankee fan has the expectation of winning the World Series. I understand that. I know that. We all know that. We all are sick and tired of hearing that.
Mm.
I mean, that's been going on for as long as I can remember.
Yeah.
You know, when George Steinbrenner took over that team, it basically changed the way that people thought about that team because he brought back the history and the pride back to the stadium. And, you know, and being the sole owner of the team as, you know, and the spokesperson of the team as opposed to having some corporation own the team and run it into the ground, you know, he brought back the pride. So now that pride has, you know, is grown into these expectations that, you know, you realize it's after 162 game season and then a couple of playoff series, you get very few at bats when you really think about it, when you're a baseball player like Aaron Judge and how everybody judges his playoff performance. I would just say that you have to go all in to try right now to get back to where you were last year. I you know, anything other than that, you know, people are going to be screaming about Aaron Boone. They're going to be screaming about Brian Cashman. I'm just, it's ad nauseum.
Yeah, I mean, right now, do you feel like either one of those teams, if the Mets and the Yankees ran into the Dodgers, they would beat them in the playoffs?
I don't feel like that.
No is the answer for me.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, you also have the Tigers.
Well, yeah, but the Tigers are doing an amazing job in this regular season. And
you also have the Astros, too, by the way.
Right, but the Dodgers are the Dodgers, and the Yankees have to worry about those teams. The Mets have to worry about them in the American League. They're the defending champs, and they're the standard right now.
Right, I just think, though, for the Yankees, you got to figure out how to get better than the Astros. You have to figure out how to get, or at least catch up to the Tigers.
Yeah. I mean, how about winning your own division, getting back in first place?
Well, that's
one step at a time.
Toronto as well. I mean,
one step at a time.
Look, man, I keep telling you, it's one pitch, it's one inning, one game.
One swing off at a time.
Yes.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. I saw Fleegs in there with a big Dunkin' cup. It made me jealous. I was like, what do you got in there? And he goes, I got myself a frozen hot chocolate. I was like, oh, man. I was like, next time I go to Dunkin', I'm grabbing myself a frozen hot chocolate. Looked delicious.
Would you like one today? I'd be happy to walk up and grab one for you.
No, I don't want you to have to leave.
I can do the order on the app. I can walk up.
That's okay.
The only thing I have to get to today, which for next hour I will, I got to get to the Shaq RG3.
Oh, my goodness.
Because I'm confused by it. I got all this sound I have to edit, so I'll have that done by next
hour.
Yeah,
I'm confused by it, too. I was reading the comments.
It's interesting.
There's a lot of incendiary language in there.
Yes.
So I'm curious to hear what that's all about. All right, Jerry, what's happening, man?
We are brought to you by Sansone Auto Mall, Woodbridge, New Jersey. The only really thing that's happening is the All-Star game. We have in the middle of this All-Star break. So last night you had the National League leading the American League 6-0 in the sixth inning. The AL scores 4 runs. And by the way, part of that 6-0 lead was Pete Alonso hitting a 3-run homer. You got the home run from Brent Rooker that kind of got things going for the American League. Then they were down 2 in the ninth. They scored twice, one. Not charged to, but off of Edwin Diaz on that excuse me check swing or whatever it was by Stephen Kwan, as we will play it here on ESPN Radio.
2-2 on the way. He slaps one, a slow roller. Suarez, no play. We're tied. Stephen Kwan does what Stephen Kwan does.
And by the way, they played the trumpets, I believe, for Diaz. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, it's a...
they played everybody's walk-up song for the home run hitting contest when they were being introduced.
I just figured Atlanta, I don't know. I thought it was cool that they played it. That was kind of neat.
Major League Baseball takes over the stadium.
That is true. Now, he did strike out Randy Arozarena with the tap in the hat and the challenge to get out of the ninth inning. And so we were tied at 6, and then you're trying to figure out what the hell's going on. Well, there is a swing-off as they sent it down to Kevin Burkhart with the managers to find out who would be involved.
Aaron, tell me, who are your home run hitters tonight?
So we're going to lead off with Brent Rooker, and then we're going Randy Arozarena and Jonathan Aranda.
All right, there we go. The three from the American League. Dave, who's the National League have in store?
Well, Kyle Stowers just found out he's in this contest, so he's going to lead off. Then we're going to go Schwarbs in the 2, and the Polar Bear will finish in the 3 hole.
Okay.
And then, of course, Alonso, who never got a chance to
hit. Here's a question. Why wouldn't Aaron Judge be in this?
Or Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah.
Or Cal Raleigh.
And Cal Raleigh had a big thumper.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy especially because, I mean, he was in the home run derby. He wins the home run derby. Those other guys were not. And it's like, I just thought it was risk of injury. Like, if these guys got hurt in a swing-off in the All-Star game, like, maybe that's what it was.
I mean, Kyle Schwarber is just as important to the Phillies.
I don't know. Those are the two top players in baseball. I don't know why they wouldn't be in it. I don't know. I don't know if they'd...
Maybe because they hadn't...
Maybe they left early, like A-Rod.
They may not even... Yeah, no. You think they were there?
I don't know. I don't know. I wasn't
mean, thinking back on
time.
It. I wasn't paying attention to the who was in the dugout or whatever. Mm-mm. Even this morning, looking at it, I don't know. I don't know.
They could have been. Maybe they were there and undressed in the clubhouse watching it in street clothes. Don't know. But they were not involved. But Schwarber was, and he hits not one, not two, but three.
He swings and sends one down the line and right. He's on a knee, and he has gone 3-for-3 to put the NL on top, 4-3.
And so you needed one from the American League to get to Alonso, and Jonathan Aranda was the one that went out there, and he went 0-for-3. Although he did hit one on, I think, like a line drive off the brick wall and right, but he went 0-for-3, and so that was that. The National League wins in a swing-off, the first one that we have ever seen. As far as the game itself, Paul Skeens did get the start. He struck out Gleyber Torres and Hunter Greene to start the game. but not Aaron Judge. Obviously, he was going to try and strike out the side.
Yeah, I mean, that's what the All-Star game is for. Every hitter's trying to hit a home run, and we're trying to strike everybody out. So, yeah, I mean, just trying to get them out. Didn't want to walk anybody. That pissed me off last year. So, I don't know. It's a learning experience.
You see his viral moment with his girlfriend?
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell he was doing with her shoe, but yeah.
That was- I mean, there's a viral moment with those two every day now. They're putting out stuff.
Oh, I'm sure, I'm sure.
You know, that Livy Dunn, and she's on boats with him and planes and doing things.
Supporting you sound jealous.
Man. I'm not jealous. Why would I be jealous?
I don't know. It sounds like you want to be a part of it.
No, I mean, I'm happy with who I am. I'm just saying that there's viral moments everywhere with these two. It's just, you open up Instagram.
She's all about, you know, being an influencer. You know that.
Yeah, well, now that
his influence is on the mound. Her influence is now who she is and what she accomplished at LSU.
Like, she's probably the only person in the world that can make him interesting off the mound. On the mound, very interesting. Off the mound, boring. Very boring. So, you know, she brings that out of him.
Okay.
Good for her.
Did you happen to catch, this is a dumb question, I know the answer to it, did you happen to catch any of the red carpet stuff?
I saw Pete Crow Armstrong this morning with his girlfriend. I watched a video.
Did you see Alonzo walk in with his gigantic man bag?
No, I didn't. He had a merce.
Oh, it was not a merce. A merce would be small. This was like a bag.
Like a man bag?
Yeah, a man bag from some leather company that started in like the 1700s. He was very excited to talk about it. It was some scene, as they say. I mean, yes.
What is he doing? He's not a man bag guy.
I would not have thought so either. But then again, who's a man? I know Al has a man bag.
Oh, Al is 100% a man bag guy.
But I feel like that's for work.
No.
You don't think so?
Al travels with a man bag 100%. He's got his like lip balm in there and all this other crap.
Lip balm?
Yeah. What else do you think he carries in his man bag? Probably his wallet.
Oh, that's right.
And he carries his weapons.
Yes.
But he can't take his weapons through the airport and TSA. They'd get him.
Correct.
You know what that looks like?
That means he's got lip balm in there.
Maybe.
This looks exactly like the Yeti coolers that you gave away at one of your foundation outings. It's
okay.
The exact same size and the exact same shape with the handle. It looks like he's carrying around a Yeti cooler.
But did explain what it was. That's not
who
it
makes
was.
It, Gucci?
No, Lelure. He said it somehow.
Who?
What?
What?
What is
I will get it.
What is that?
He gave them some leather company that was founded, he said, in the 1700s.
Yeah.
The way he said it.
I can't find it.
I'll get to the audio because I just watched it before I came in. His teammate, Edwin Diaz, we talked about the strikeout he got using the ABS against Arozarena. Here he was explaining why he did what he did.
Two strike, game tied already, so I thought the pitch was close. I just did the challenge to see where was the pitch. I get it.
And by the way, when they showed it on the screen, I mean, this thing clipped the strike zone by a hair. But it was a strike, and so good for him. He figured, why not try?
It was pretty funny. Like, I did. I didn't. I wasn't sure it was a strike because it was really close. And as soon as I saw the strike, I just started laughing and pointing the catcher at Arozarena.
And Arozarena. That's exactly right.
If it was called a strike, I bet you Arozarena would have asked for a challenge himself. You know what I'm saying?
That would have been funny.
Yeah, yes,
I suppose he could have. So there you go. There's the Midsummer Classic in the rearview window. The window of the baseball season to pick up again. On Friday night, you got Garrett Wilson the other day, and then yesterday the Jets giving Gardner a 4-year extension, $120 million. So then you wonder what the reaction is around the league or what the trickle-down effect is. Here is Terry McLaurin. Obviously, he wants a new deal in Washington, hasn't gotten one yet. Has this been tough on him?
Yeah, I've been pretty frustrated, I'm not going to lie. You know, everything that has transpired up until this point has been disappointing and frustrating. You know, I've wanted to continue my career here. I've created my life here. You know, my wife and I have bought our first home here. So this has been somewhere where I've always wanted to be.
He went on talking about how you do all the right things. You try to be a leader and you would like to be rewarded.
He'll get his money. You know, the interesting thing about all of this, you got to remember that when these NFL owners give out guaranteed money, they have to put a portion of that guaranteed money into an escrow account to make sure that it's always there for the players. That doesn't count the money that they're given, obviously, this year and their contract this year. But anything guaranteed after the years, the practical guarantees, then has to go into escrow. So there has to be cash available. That's why some teams like Cincinnati may wait all the way as far as they can before they start giving up big contracts.
Right. That's why when a lot of fans complain about their teams not paying or signing guys, it's because cash on hand.
Right. And you have to know when the NFL money is coming in and how it comes in and then they got to put it away in escrow. So it's just one of those things that the rule is implemented to make sure that the players would always be protected when it came to guaranteed money, but it is a significant amount. So these two guys, they got $90 and $80 million guaranteed, $170 million.
Yeah.
Right. Total. So you take the amount of money that they were given as a signing bonus and their contracts this year, and then whatever's left over as guaranteed money then goes into escrow.
I love escrow talk. It's my favorite. It's awesome. Just want to let you know how much I enjoy this the last minute and a half.
Do you even know that?
Yeah, because you did the same thing, like, I think last year at this time. I learned about it then.
Hey, good. Just a refresher course.
Good.
That's what you got to look at.
Hashtag escrow spot.
Yep. Here was another from McLaurin, realizing this is a business for all involved.
To a certain degree, when you feel you have a way of feeling that what you've proven up until this point, and when you see that is put in front of you of how somebody perceives you or values you, that's disappointing. You know what I mean? It's a little bit disrespectful.
Coming up next hour, we'll talk Washington taxes. To see what he does with his money.
Next hour.
Well, we still got 27 minutes of this hour. That's exactly right. How about one from Arch Manning? This was on SEC Network. We're getting set for the college football season about, 5-6 weeks away or so. Who gives the best advice on things? His dad, Eli, or Peyton? What do you think he said?
Oh, I will tell man.
You, I haven't heard this. I have no idea what he's going to answer.
I'm going to say that Eli gives the best
advice.
That's
what I was going to say. What do you think?
Cooper, Eli, or Peyton, who gives him the best advice?
Well, I would think his dad.
All right, let's see.
Music? Probably my brother. Is that even an option? Can I say him? Dancers, I would say my dad. Dating advice? I'd say Eli. I think he's had a lot of dates in his life.
Wow.
Eli has some good advice. How about playbook? I would say Peyton, for sure. Fashion? I'd go Eli. Cooking? None of them are very good cooks. Probably my grandmother. Best show to watch? I would say Peyton. Yeah, probably Peyton. He seems like a very responsible guy, so he'd get on me pretty good about that.
Yeah, he answered everybody.
Yeah, he did.
Eli, in terms of fashion.
And dating.
Well, wow. I mean, look at the other options.
You know? Exactly. So, but, Eli's a vest guy.
He definitely loves a vest.
Yeah.
Not as much as CeeLo loves a vest.
No, but he definitely loves a vest. He's like a Peter Millar model.
Sure. Quarter zip.
CeeLo pulled, and I thought he pulled it off well last week. He pulled off the nice collared shirt and the sporty shorts.
Yeah, I don't know where he gets these combinations from. It's just an odd thing. You know his whole life and his personality. He'll show up wearing some of the wackiest stuff you ever seen in your life.
And then you see him on, SNY, and
he looks great.
Yeah, he looks great.
He does look great. The Chiefs and guard Trey Smith agree on a 4-year deal for $94 million.
How much is guaranteed and going into escrow?
I did not read the I didn't read the second paragraph on that one, so I'm not sure. WNBA, the Fever beat the Sun by 8. Caitlin Clark at 14-8-7, but she left with a groin injury. She also got very heated with the official. It looked like, I know no one cares, but the official came over, said something. They were having a nice conversation, and then she just snapped on him. I don't know what happened, but she left with a groin injury. So, yes.
It's too bad that Al's not here, because he always asks, can women pull their groin?
I know.
And now we have an answer.
I thought the same thing. So a groin injury for Caitlin.
That was a question that still to this day, I don't think he really knew the answer to. Finally, he gets the answer, and he's out there in Bozeman, Montana.
Which, did you happen
to... Do women have groins?
Did you see the two books he was reading yesterday?
I heard you talk about it this morning. I didn't see it on X, but yeah, it was like Fat Women Hiking or something was one of them.
Yes. And Pooping in the Park.
Yeah, Pooping in the Park. That's right. Yeah. And there's also the sequel, hiking. Fat Women Poop in the Park, which is right at the New York Times bestseller list right now.
Okay. Next hour, I'll try to break down this whole Shaq, Angel Reese, RG3, Cheryl Swoops, Gilbert. They're all involved.
Oh, my God.
So I have audio from all of them, I believe, coming up next hour.
All right. Thank you, Jerry.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. So Netflix has done this series Trainwreck, and that's where Poop Cruise came from. So it's been really good. They did one on that Toronto mayor who was like smoking crack. I haven't watched that one yet. But this Trainwreck series has been very good. So they did one on Balloon Boy. Do you remember Balloon Boy? So I remember Balloon Boy so vividly because it was one of the first days that we were here and moved into these studios and left Astoria, and it was on the TVs, and everybody was surrounding the TVs. I remember watching it with Paul R. Zuman. Mike came out, and he was watching it. He was talking about it on the show, and it captivated the country for a few hours. Everybody broke into their local coverage. So if you don't remember what Balloon Boy was, there was a family that made a fake flying saucer that was had helium in it and would fly around. The thing took off into the air, and they claimed that their six-year-old son was in this fake UFO that's flying at like 800. Well, I guess it was probably like it might have been as high as 10,000 feet at one point, and then it started coming down. Like, that's how crazy it was and how high it got up there at first. So then everybody's cutting into this. Like, there's a six-year-old boy flying around in this balloon that we can't see. So people are freaking out about it. The news helicopters, everybody, they're going around. And then this neighbor said they thought they saw something fall from the balloon. They took a picture, but you couldn't see it. And everybody's like, oh, my God, this six-year-old kid is in this balloon. And then it starts losing the helium, and it comes down, and the cops surround it. We're all around the TV watching, and they rip the thing open, and nobody's there.
All right, where is Balloon Boy today?
So Balloon Boy was not in there. He did not fall out of there.
Yeah.
He was up above the garage in this attic space. And it turned out, even though they still to this day, the family don't fully admit, even though he pled guilty to charges of like fabricating this whole thing, still won't fully admit.
Wait, the six-year-old boy?
Well, yeah, the father. Everybody was in on it.
All right. Oh, so
everybody was in on it. So the father, the mother, and three brothers all in on it. But these kids and the father and the mother, even though they've got footage of the mother confessing to the police, they've got the kid on Larry King. So Larry King's hosted by Wolf Blitzer. Larry King is off. And they ask the kid, you know, why were you up in the attic? He goes, we did it for the show. And they're like, what? Six-year-old, what do you mean? What did you mean by that? And the father's like, he's confused. The cameras, whatever. So, like, he blew it. And this guy, and he pled guilty of the charges. But what they did was they were on Wife Swap at one point. They were trying to get famous again with reality TV. And they created this whole thing. They actually filmed the thing taking off and the tethers going. And it's such bad acting. They're like, what was his name? Falcon. They're like, Dad, Falcon's in there. He's like, what? Falcon's in there! It was like the worst acting ever, and they put that video out.
Big Balloon Fest.
Big Balloon Fest is right. So it is, I just remember it so vividly because we all thought that there was this six-year-old boy in danger in this flying balloon, and we were here. It was an afternoon at WFA, and one of the first days we had been here, October 15th, 2009, was when this happened, and we moved in like 5 days prior to that into these studios. So do you have any recollection of Balloon Boy?
I do, like a very, very little recollection, but I'm just asking you why you're bringing that up.
Oh, because Netflix did I watched a documentary on it.
Oh, you saw the... Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
that's what I said. I said the Netflix did the documentary.
Oh, that was part of the whole documentary series.
Yeah. So they did... So it started with Poop Cruise, and then they did another one on the Toronto mayor, and now Balloon Boy just came out, and I watched it yesterday. And it was absolutely incredible. And this guy is just so full of crap, the dad. And they're hiding somewhere in Florida now trying to get away from everybody.
Did they actually have Balloon Boy himself in the documentary? No. I mean, at this age now?
They're still all lying their ass off about it. But it is so clear that they were all in on it. And the kid at 6 years old said it on TV. He's like, we did it all for a show. And then, Wolf Blitzer's like, what? Huh? What is that? And they're like, oh, he's not feeling well. Let's shuffle him off to the side here. Oh, it's so bad. But, I mean, it worked to a certain degree, the publicity they got. But then once everybody figured out it was a hoax, these guys got crushed. He had to spend 30 days in jail.
His wife got like a house sentence too, or whatever, house arrest. I mean, it ended up being like a total mess for them. But yeah, there you go. I would recommend though. It's funny to watch, and it's also the concern that people had. Like there was a guy. He was just like a photojournalist for one of the news stations, and he drove to where the thing was coming down. He's like in tears, thinking that when they opened the thing up and the kid wasn't in there, that the kid had fallen out. You know, and everybody's like, I don't know how to tell you this, but there's no kid in here. And then, like, everybody's like, oh, my God, he fell out. Not that he was up in the house the whole friggin' time. Insane.
Balloon knot.
Yes.
big balloon fest.
Wow.
Balloon knot. 888-808-1019 is the number to join the show. Let's go to Adam in Manhattan. What's going on, Adam?
Morning, boys. How are you?
Great, Adam. What do you got for us?
Hey, that was a good segue with the Netflix series, because maybe they can make another one about this.
Okay.
I needed to check with you, quasi-Mayor Saville. I heard a rumor that the new thing for swingers to identify themselves is hanging loofahs off the side of their car.
Yeah, you know what? When we
is there truth to this?
Yeah, so actually not in Saville. And you know, when I first started doing the show, when I first moved to Saville, that's what everybody was talking about, calling up swinger this. I have not seen these Adirondack chairs. I have not seen these pineapples. But what came up during that conversation back in 2021 was that down at the Villages in Florida, there's a lot of swinging going on, and they have like different colored loofahs that they tie to their car to let you know what type of thing they're into. Like, we want another, you know, male couple or whatever. It's like different colored loofahs signify different things. Yeah, so I've heard that. Yeah, yes.
Like, you have a pink loofah, you're looking for a female.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, but I also heard in regard to the Villages that they just opened their first Hooters down there.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
I thought Hooters was closing everywhere.
I think they opened at the Villages and it was bum rushed by all the guys.
Get out of here.
I think so.
Wow.
For job applications or for the visit?
Of course, to go in there and visit, eat and oogle.
I mean, what? Like, I feel like I hear all these things disappear and then they keep going. Like, I thought Sports Illustrated folded and then all of a sudden they put out a swimsuit edition. Then I heard all the Hooters were closed and then they opened up a Hooters. Like, what is going on? I know the Hooters on Long Island is no longer a Hooters. It's something else. The one that was by the Coliseum.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's not a Hooters anymore.
Yes, there is a Hooters restaurant in the Villages, Florida. It's located, there you go. It's the first Hooters location in the Villages, and it opened. Well, it's been open, July it opened.
Like July
7th? July 7th, yeah.
Wow. I thought
I saw that, and yes, there it is.
I mean, Didn't we talk about how the Hooters were closing?
I think a lot of the Hooters franchises around the country closed, but I think the original in Tampa, I want to say, was still thriving.
Okay, yeah, they filed for bankruptcy. So at least I saw this. So on June 5th, Hooters abruptly closes dozens of restaurants and files for bankruptcy. So, but they also said we're not going anywhere. So that's why this whole thing is confusing. But yeah, I was always a Hooters guy.
You were?
You're going there with the wings and the boobies and the whole thing. I mean, you know, when you're a single guy, it's great. You can't do that when you're a married guy and tell your wife, hey, I'm going to Hooters to go look at these other women's breasts while eating chicken wings. You can't do that. But like back when you're younger and you're first, like you're 21, 22.
You're in college, you got to go.
You're like, you're allowed to legally drink. Is there anything better than getting like a pitcher of Miller Lite or something and sitting down and eating a dozen wings, looking at some boobies? I mean, draw me up a better afternoon.
Does it get any better than that?
Monday night football?
Yes.
Come on. You don't have a class until 11 a.m. on Tuesday in college. You walk into that Hooters. Couple of wings, couple of boobs, couple of pitchers. That was living back then, man.
Yeah, you're set up, man.
I mean, that is what the forefathers were thinking of.
Was there one on Hempstead Turnpike?
Yeah, I was just saying, by the Coliseum, across from the Coliseum. Okay. Yeah, that was the Hooters that I
when
knew.
You were at Hofstra.
Yeah, I would go to that Hooters.
Yeah.
And then
why don't you reopen it? That's what you should do.
It's called something else now. I'm sure people are calling Fleegs or typing me on X. It's changed to another restaurant. I believe it's still a restaurant there, but it's not.
But it's not a Hooters.
I don't think it's a Hooters anymore, no. Let's go to Billy in Lynbrook. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you?
Good. What's up?
I heard about the Villages. Do you know that supposedly it's the highest STD rate down there.
Yeah, I did. Country. I heard that as well. I don't know if that's just like a rumor or you know, one of these little things that got out, but I wouldn't be surprised because you
no,
hear...
No, it's definitely true because I went down there last year.
He just like caught syphilis through the air or something?
No, I hooked up. I sort of...
Oh, you hooked up?
I knocked and that's what happened.
Oh, wow, you went in there.
And went into the village is the hookup.
Billy?
Yeah, listen, you got to do what you got to do, you know?
Did you come out of it with some sort of chlamydia
this
or something?
This guy's got gonorrhea.
Well, it's stung a little, you know? So that's
it. Wow. That is unbelievable, Billy. Did you know it was the highest rate of STDs before you went in there?
No.
Oh, man, oh, man. What a tough break that is. Well, at least you went in there and accomplished.
Yeah, that was fun.
It was funny.
Yeah.
That was funny. Let me just go into the villages, find myself somebody.
Wow.
Grab some gonorrhea and head back up to Lynbrook. Head back up to Lynbrook.
Gonorrhea, syphilis, and herpes.
How the hell did that come from? Oh, my goodness. All right. Let's go to...
man, I can't wait for sports to get back going again.
Not me. Bill on the Parkway. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, Hooters is still in business in Jersey anyway. I do business with them. Sell them bags for a lot of their... For the two or three Hooters in New Jersey.
All right, good.
And I also heard of, about what's going on at the Village. It's got the greatest reputation ever.
Wait.
You need a bucket of hot water. You need a bucket of hot water to get the crabs to fall into.
Oh, jeez. God. What a phone call.
What?
I still do business with Hooters. And if you go to the villages, you got to get a bucket of hot water to get the crabs to jump into it. I mean, that is... Think about him dialing that phone to talk about that. That's unbelievable.
You know. Oh, God.
Yeah, so anyway, there you go. Balloon Boy, Villages, STDs, Hooters, on a fan.